Well, thank you, praise team, for that music and setting the tone here for our worship today. As y'all know, Pastor Steve has begun his pathway to retirement with some vacation time here right before he officially goes into retirement. So he asked that we say a few words this morning regarding the walk to Emmaus and have some testimonies from people that have taken that walk. But before we do that, let us go to the Lord in prayer. So Heavenly Father, we are here this morning to worship you, to praise you, to glorify you, to bring to you all that is yours and acknowledge all that you do in our lives. And Lord, part of that praise and worship is acknowledging the things that your Son does for us in our lives and how important that relationship between us and Jesus Christ is. So Lord, as we worship here this morning, be with us and dwell us with the Holy Spirit and help us explain to each and every one of us the importance of that relationship with Jesus. It is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So the walk to Emmaus, I know y'all have heard us refer to it before, and it is what they call a three-day movement. And the walk to Emmaus is sponsored or organized under the upper room, but there are other three-day movements. There's Curcio and Tres Dias and what is the prison ministry? Kairos. So there are several others that are of the same vein. The Catholic Church, I think Curcio is their movement. So the point of any of these three-day movements is basically to get away, kind of get away from all the electronic disturbances and connections in your lives and spend 3 days getting closer to Jesus. And it's all organized around the scripture found in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. So let me read that to you. And because it's a little bit longer scripture, I'm not going to have you stand for the whole thing. But so this is Luke. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know it was him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So on this walk down the road to Emmaus, they were talking with Jesus, but didn't realize it until they stopped and he broke the bread and blessed it. And that's what this walk to Emmaus experience is all about. It's not meant to bring people to Christ. It's not meant to make someone accept Christ and be saved. It's to deepen your relationship with Christ. And I want to thank Glenda for the painting that she's got up there on the altar, and then the slides kind of depicting that walk where these two are walking down the road talking to Jesus and not realizing it. So the walk to Emmaus is intended to deepen your relationship with Jesus and to realize what it means to serve him and to be in service with him to others, to love others. So we have some testimonies of people that have taken the walk here at our church. I think we're up to around 25 people that have taken the walk to Emmaus. Some have moved on. I think we have about 16 that are here and that are active. Our new pastor, Anthony, and his wife, Emily, have taken the walk to Emmaus. So hopefully they'll be involved with that. But at this point, we'd like to hear from some people that have taken their walk to Emmaus. And Jim and Dottie Hooven just took their walk in the spring, right? Yeah. Spring was our last walk. We have another one in the fall. And they were so excited when they returned home from their walk that they wrote down their feelings about it and asked the pastor if they could come over here and make a recording of their experience so that it could be shared with the congregation. So, Christy, if we could start that video. This is Jim and Dottie Hooven.
Hi, my name is Dottie Hooven. I did my walk to Emmaus with the Heart of Florida, walk number 39, and I sat at the table of Ruth. What I'd like to tell you as my testimonial about that walk is my story of coming home with Jesus. I was raised as a Catholic where Bible study didn't exist. You went to church each Sunday. You heard the three readings set according to the lectionary. The 10-minute sermon followed the readings. My mind usually wandered during that time, as was pretty much the same message as last year. As I grew into a young adult, I stopped going to church each Sunday. The local college had an ecumenical service that filled my need for a church community. After Jim and I married in the Catholic Church, we faithfully raised our children in the church, but I felt I was always missing something. My faith felt shallow. I was doing all the right things, active in the church activities, there for my children, raising them in the faith I knew. But as they left home, so did my going to church. I often felt the need to be physically in a church, so Jim and I went. After we moved to Florida, we search for a church family. After going to many churches, receiving a visitor tag, going to the fellowship gatherings, I still felt like a stranger standing in a large crowd. When we met Dwight and Phyllis Kitchens, they spoke to us about their church and their church community. As true disciples of Christ, they invited us to come to their church. We said yes, as they spoke so highly of the church community, and the next morning we attended. So that Sunday morning, the sun was shining, and we went to church. Sue and Roy Bodemer were at the door as greeters. They smiled at us and welcomed us into the church. They made visitor name tags. There were so many smiling faces as people greeted us and welcomed us into their community. We introduced ourselves and immediately felt so loved and welcome, we were home. I heard about Miss Sue's Sunday school class and knew that this was what I needed. It was my first introduction to the Bible. I was so glad that I had a way to learn the word. I was thirsty, and this gave me what I needed. Pastor Steve introduced me to so many new concepts that gave me real-life examples of how I was to lead my life. Wow. So how does this relate to my journey on the walk to Emmaus? The 72 hours allowed me to understand more fully where I had been in my faith journey and where I needed to go. I learned so much about the concepts of grace and God's love for me. The time was filled with love from everyone around me. There was laughter, tears, prayerful study, reflection, and so much fellowship. I knew that I had come a long way from that childlike Catholic to the faith-filled Methodist, but there still is so much I don't know. Through study, fellowship, and prayer during those 72 hours, I got to understand how my love of Jesus has grown and fills my heart, my mind, and my soul with my need for him. Moving forward, I feel the need to share this love of Jesus by becoming a better disciple for God. There is still so much to learn, but I now have a larger community of believers to guide me as I grow.
My name is Jim Huben. I did my walk to Emmaus with the Heart of Florida, walk number 39, and I sat at the table of John. My story parallels Dottie's quite a bit, so I might just leave out a few things here that aren't needed. I was raised a Catholic in Green Bay Diocese, just like her, and I spent 8 years in Catholic school, and for 11 years I was an altar boy serving at morning service. Latin, anyone? I had a hard time memorizing, but became very good at serving. I realized that our study of our Savior was a repetitive 3-year cycle of the gospel reading and sermons. The church did not allow the unlearned to read the Bible. We didn't have Bible study, and I felt that the Bible was part of the leadership, not for a part of my life. I knew that Jesus gave his life for us, understanding that this meant there was a higher being, and that was God. My church time was daily mass and weekend services. As an altar boy, firmly believing in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When I went away to school with weekend visits home, church became weekend visits with my home church or at the cathedral near school. I met Dottie on a weekend visit home. She took me to the school's ecumenical service, and I still felt that I believed. While at school, I received a draft notice. Looking back now, I realized that God was with me and sent Dottie to be there at my side. While serving my country in the Coast Guard, I went to school, became engaged to Dottie, and took my first billet in the Philippines. This allowed me to come back to the States, get married, and begin my life with Dottie. My personal angel, Dottie, is still with me on our journey of life. We began camping on our honeymoon with a camper loaned to us by her father. We raised our two children and later our two grandchildren with weekend and many weekends vacationing. My mother was unhappy that we went camping on the weekend instead of going to Catholic church. My answer was that we celebrated God every day by appreciating his gifts of nature, camper companionship, and true belief in God. Many times we found informal worship at the campground and always enjoyed these shared moments with people whom beliefs were matched ours. We did a lot of moving around and had to find different churches. We did a lot of volunteer work in the churches. Dottie served in religious classes and teachers. And we did a community-related activities and always found time in the motor coach. We had a great life and were always searching for church with a better fit for us. And Dottie pretty much told you about the White and how we ended up here. And we've enjoyed it tremendously. And we were asked to go to Emmaus 2 years ago and COVID hit. And we finally got to go and it's life-changing. It reopened my eyes to the Savior, how Christians must follow him, praise his name, and speak his word. The structure of the walk over the 72 hours is impressive. It made me think, reflect, and change my lackadaisical Christian attitude. My eyes were open and I got an attitude of continued learning and willingness to speak to our Lord instead of the way my past was just mouthing prayers. I found that God is always happy to talk with us. The people, angels, laity, and clergy gave me a new insight. I have a great connection with these people that I'm looking forward to keep forever through spiritual and personal contact. Remember, all jobs for Jesus are important. Holding a ladder allows the person on the ladder to work with stability and knowledge that they are being protected. To everyone who worked, served, and prayed for everyone who attended and worked the walk, thank you. The feeling of love and trust are awesome.
Yeah. So those were just a few words from Jim and Dottie Heuven that they wanted to share after their walk. And we have some other folks that have taken their walk. So who would like to come up and say something? Faye?
Thank you. Hello, it's good to be here with y'all today. My name is Faye Herrick. I took the walk of Heart of Florida, walk to Emmaus number 39, where I sat at the table of Mary. A little bit of background about myself. I was not raised in the church. Oh, sure. I knew God. I knew he created the world, and I knew Jesus was his son. I knew we celebrated Jesus' birthday at Christmas and his resurrection at Easter. I knew about Adam and Eve and about Noah's Ark. And I knew about Moses and the burning bush and the templates. And I knew other Bible stories that you learn in Sunday school. Now, when I say I wasn't raised at the church, my mom, she was religious, but she didn't attend church. So every once in a while, I got to stay the night with a friend or something, and we would get up and go to church the next morning. So I figured God, if God really wanted me, he knew where to find me. He would let me know. So I grew up, made plenty of mistakes, got into some trouble, had two failed marriages, raised three boys on my own. About 8 years ago, I felt like something was missing in my life. And I had this sudden need to go to church. So I went to a church that was close to my house, and I walked in. They greeted me at the door, and I sat through the service. Didn't really feel anything. So I said, okay, well, let me just keep going back. Maybe it takes time. Then Bob walked into my life. I'm sorry. Bob brought me here. That first Sunday, I walked in, and I was greeted at the door. And I was sitting in the pew over there by myself because he was in the back practicing with the choir. And people came up to me and they introduced themselves to me and they welcomed me. The first sermon I heard from Pastor Steve was about the prodigal son. I knew that I was home. I knew then that I was where I was supposed to be. Now, I started coming to Lake Gibson around November the 9th, 2014. I was baptized and became a member of the church June 14th, 2015. Over the past 8 years, I have learned so much about God, His wants for and from me. Every week I get up here and I sing His praises because He does deserve all the glory. On the walk to Emmaus, I learned so much more. I met some of the most fabulous people, and I know that they will be in my life forever. I was able to let go of negative feelings about myself and others that I didn't even realize I was still carrying around. I was able to learn more about God's grace. There are several different types of grace. Who knew? But His grace is so much bigger than any of the sins I've ever had. Thank you, Lord. The walk for me was a way to connect on a more personable level with others like me and God. Now, I didn't have a clue what I was getting into during the 3 days before, but I was going to make the most of it. I was told, don't anticipate and participate. So I was going to make the most of it, and so I participated. We sang songs. It was a weekend filled with fellowship, worship, and building of new friendships. I shed so many tears that weekend. There were tears of joy, tears of sorrow. There were tears that I didn't even know why I was crying. I was emotionally exhausted by the end of that weekend, but I had never felt better. It was like all those tears had washed my soul. I learned how to become an actively practicing Christian, and that is my term as I see myself. I'm still actively practicing because it takes practice to make perfect, and I will never be perfect. And to be a Christian, you have to be godlike or Christ-like, and Christ was perfect. But since I'll never be perfect, I'll just keep practicing. That is okay. God loves me anyway. I learned that it doesn't matter what I have done in the past. He still wants me. And there are others out there just like me. My responsibility is to go out and find them and help them to realize that God wants them too. Just like I was given the chance to grow, God wants me to help others grow. It was an experience that everyone should be given the chance to do. They talk about the fourth day. Today is my 77th fourth day. I will continue to sing His praises. I will continue to pray for those who are in need of prayers. We all are in need of prayers at some point in time, right? I want to say thank you to the people who made it possible for me to go. Just like they helped me, it is my time to help others.
Well, they saved me for last because mine's very short. Yes, I do have a name. My name is Bob Herrick. I took the walk to Emmaus at the heart of Florida, number 39, where I sat at the table of Matthew. I had no idea what the next 3 days was going to be like, but I was open-minded to make what was to come. I was pleasantly surprised. I better keep this up here. I met a lot of nice people. Everybody treated me very well. I mean, they just do everything hand and foot for you. It's amazing what they do. I was brought up in the church, but it was something that I was supposed to do. You know, you get up on Sunday morning, you get ready, you go to church, and you go home and you go out and play. Well, I learned more on this walk. I learned more about how much Jesus really does love me. And some people ask if God still does miracles. And I'm here to tell you, he definitely does. Sometimes, you know, growing up, I did a lot of things I shouldn't have. I've done, even after I grew up, I did a lot of things I shouldn't have. But anyway, we won't go into those. I spent two tours in Vietnam, and I know God was with me the whole time. He kept me safe, brought me home safely, and I am so, so happy for that. And I had a accident a few years ago, and the tornado picked up my 18-wheeler and spun me around, threw me back down on the ground. Now, it was only God that saved me through that. I mean, that's something that only He can do. He saves everybody that once saved. Yeah. I tell everybody I took my flying lesson, but I failed the landing. It was not a good time. He's got me through the cancer and so many other things. I'm not a really good speaker, but I really do enjoy singing in the choir and the praise band. That's the gift that God gave me that I can give out to you people. Hopefully, I can just touch even one life with that. I'm doing well. And it's all through God. God has given me everything in my life. And I just want to praise God for that.
So you've probably heard John prompting people to say your name. And one of the things in Emmaus is whenever you get up to speak, you say your name. So I'm Mike Stafford. I took my walk to Emmaus at Heart of Florida Walk number 26, where I sat at the table of Matthew. So that's the introduction that we always give whenever we get up to speak. Does anybody else have something to share?
That introduction is a custom that we follow, so I better do it. My name is John Bernard. My wife's Ann, sitting over there. We took our walk at Altersgate, number 28, back in 1988. And I sat at the table of Matthew, she sat at the table of
Martha.
Okay. as you know, I said Aldersgate. That seems to have been the overriding system that existed in the state of Florida for many years. And when we would have a team meeting, we'd have it all over the state, because team meetings are what the people that are running the weekend do to prepare for that weekend. And because we had people from all over the state, we would now have to have our meetings in different locations. So we had people from as far away as Gainesville, Tallahassee, people from the West Coast, Tampa, St. Petersburg. At the time, Aldersgate was the existing Methodist walk that covered the state of Florida, practically. But there was one in South Florida that was run by the Catholic Church, and I think there was one other in the state that was active. May have been one of the other denominations. Anyhow, after we took our walk and returned home, as you know, the idea of the walk is to prepare you for leadership in your community or in your church. And so we were asked to be the leaders of the family ministry in our church that we were in over in Satellite Beach, where we came from. So we did that, and we grew as Christians at the time. We were much younger, of course. That was 40 years ago. So we enjoyed having participated in it at a younger age, but it's always open to whoever. And there are many people that go that need walkers or wheelchairs or assistance whenever they go for the weekend. But if you make those needs known, they will take care of you there as well. And Aldersgate, or the Emmaus Walk, is something that every church needs. And at the time we came to this church, there wasn't an active group. There were a couple individuals that had done the walk, those that came from up north somewhere. And then Mike and Rosita were the first ones to go from here. And we had the pleasure of sponsoring them as well. And that's how the walk got started here at Lake Gibson.
So a couple of things that John touched on. The walk to Emmaus is intended to strengthen your faith so that you can be a better servant of Jesus Christ here in your own local church. So that is the purpose. The walk itself is a weekend. It's 3 days, 72 hours. You go off. You're sponsored by somebody. So usually the men go on one weekend, and then the women go on the following weekend. And you're sponsored, just as Rosita and I were sponsored by Ann and John. They take you out there. You go through your 72 hours. Experience all the wonderful things that you experience. But the point is to come back to your church and serve your local church. So hopefully you've seen some of the people that have spoken. You've noticed that they are people that are in different leadership roles in the church and serving in one way or another. I think that there was something else I wanted to say, but I'm on cold medication right now, so I'm not thinking very clearly. But it's an exciting spiritual adventure. If you're interested, if you want to go, some of the people that have gotten up and spoken today, you can talk to any of us, and we can get you the information. You could Google Walk to Emmaus and learn more about it. But if anybody ever wants to take a walk, please reach out to any of us and let us know, and we'll get you the information. Harriet's also been, she didn't get up and speak, but Harriet just went on the walk recently. So Leon and Kathy, obviously Rosita, and who else is here that didn't? Oh, yeah, Jim. Yep. So, do what? Tom and Betty, yeah. Okay. They were shy today, too, and didn't want to get up. So, anyway, lots of people have gone. We would love to sponsor you if you want to go. Rosita?
So,
just so other people can hear you. Nobody knows you. They don't see you.
Kathy and Leon sponsored me. And my original thought was, oh, am I walking around a lake or a pond or something and raising money for the church? I had no idea what it was. And the thing that I said, yes, I think I'd like to do that. And for me, it gave me strength. It was very emotional. Just hearing what the others said, you could tell, it really struck me. I even broke down in tears while I was there. And complete strangers that I'd never met before comforted me, and it felt so good. And I may not be able to do a lot of things like on stage or something, but I feel that it gave me the opportunity to help in other ways and just be a good person to others around me. And I want to thank all of you that have helped make me feel comfortable, especially the fact that when I lost my husband just before COVID, and then I went a year without anything going on, you know, you're confined to the house, and then other than my son, we didn't have family here. And I thought, oh, gee, if I come back to the church, am I going to be like a third wheel? Because I was a couple, and I felt our Bible study group was mostly couples at that time, but they made me feel welcome. And I do feel very comfortable here, and I thank everybody for that. And I also want to mention it was Marie and Rich Thomas that we met in Kentucky while they were visiting her sister that originally brought us here. And it's been a beautiful home, and we enjoy it. Thank you.
I think you heard a couple of times, you know, Jim and Dottie Hooven and then Harriet talking about being invited to church. So don't forget that, invite somebody to church. Let them know that you'd like to have them come and experience what you experience here at church. So I want to thank everybody that, Bob, did you have something?
That one song that we're doing today is Let Me Tell You About My Jesus, uh-huh. How He Can Change Your Life. And I think that's a very appropriate song for this Sunday for this walk.
Yep. Let me tell you about my Jesus. So are we doing that at the end of the service? Okay. And, you know, since the pastor's not here, I'm kind of winging it. Do we do the prayers and praises before the song, or do we do the song and then the prayers? Okay. So since we're not Zooming, I don't imagine that we have any prayer requests that have been sent in. We do? Oh, okay. Well, do we have any prayers or praises from anybody here that they want to share?
I have a prayer request for a friend in our park. He's going to have surgery on Thursday, and his name is Rich. So just keep him in your prayers. He's kind of scared for what he has to have done. So he's got an aneurysm that they're going to work on.
Okay, so prayers for Rich with his surgery.
I just got a call this weekend that one of my dear friends from high school, Anita Barsh, which y'all have all heard me talk about our girls' getaways every year for about the last 10 years. She was diagnosed a couple, 3 years ago. They didn't know what exactly was wrong with her, and finally came up with Lewy body disease, or Lewy body dementia. But she had no symptoms other than weird things. And then they were deciding that she got so much better that maybe they just totally diagnosed her wrong and couldn't put anything else with it. And so she's been doing great. And I was making plans to fly out there to see her. And about 3 weeks ago, she got a blood infection, and they couldn't find any cause of it. And apparently what it did was reactivate this Lewy body dementia. And she has just plummeted totally, completely, is now in hospice, and they don't know how much longer that she has. But please keep her and her family in your prayers.
First, I want to give praises for all the fathers out there. And I have a prayer for my sister. Now, my sister was born with spina bifida, and when she was about 5 years old, she had the bottom half of her spine removed. She fell Friday evening and hit her back where she has no spine there. So she's laid up for a couple of days. So she just needs some prayers to help her get to feeling better.
Let's keep Linda Gibbs in our prayer for surgery this coming Friday.
And I just want to thank you all for been praying for me for a long time. My cancer is gone, but now they're getting ready to put all my guts back together, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. But please keep me in your prayers, and I just appreciate this church so much, and happy Father's Day.
Susan Ritchie, that usually sits here with us, has been having some problems, so please keep her in your prayers.
Just safe traveling mercies for three of my neighbors. They're all up north for Father's Day and other things. And just keep praying for Phyllis Kitchens for her rehab, and keep her in your prayers.
Okay. All right, is that it from here in the congregation? So we have a few. Christy said, we're sent in, praise be to God, Phyllis Kitchens is home to recover from surgery. Amen. Continued prayers are needed for her healing, also for Dwight as he assumes his nursing duties. And Zandy Cole prays that Larry's heart failure is improving on a new medication. If improvement continues, he will be transferred to rehab in a few days. So that's good news. Barbara Allen Coyle, please pray for her neighbor, James Urbanek. He's having TIAs that are affecting his speech and his mind. Okay. Oh, Rosita. What about him? Okay. So I guess Rosita wants prayers for our son Nick and his wife Emma as they continue their adoption process. They had a court hearing the other day. We haven't heard the outcome of it, but hopefully that's still moving in the right direction. So let's go to the Lord. Oh, yeah, Joe Moon.
On behalf of all of our fathers, I would like to thank all of our mothers for getting us to where we are now.
All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you've heard the needs that have been raised up for people that need your healing touch in their lives. You've heard the praises and the recognition of your wonderful works in people's lives. And Lord, you've heard the request for travel mercies and grace that only you can provide in the lives of those that need it. So Lord, we offer all these things up to you in the full faith and knowledge that all things are possible as long as they're in your will. So Lord, please help us to be in your will as we offer these prayers and praises today. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. And closing song from our praise team.